Welcome to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast.
Sponsored by CGC Cards, card grading all in one place. CGC Cards is devoted to expert grading of collectible cards, including TCGs, sports cards, and non-sports cards.
Sponsored by Collects, the free app for scanning and valuing your cards. Use the app to build your collection and buy and sell with other collectors. Turn the hobby into your side hustle. And by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. If it happens in the hobby, you'll find it on SportsCollectorsDaily.com. And sponsored by GemRate.com. The latest grading statistic from the four major grading companies is just a click away. Visit GemRate.com. It's free.
And now, here's our host, Drew Pelto.
Hello, everybody. Once again, welcome to the TTM Cast podcast, your sports collectibles podcast. A place to cover all things related to TTM, cards, autographs, sports collecting, and whatever else we feel like talking about. You never know what you might find out of us here on that sometimes on these. My name is Drew Pelto. This is season 6, episode number 11. We're here on March 30th, and this is a nationally ranked sports collectibles podcast. I'm coming to you from North Texas, and back on the mic once again over there in Iowa, Troy Rutter, back with us again as co-host. Good to have you back. How was the week off?
it was okay. We went camping and it was a little cold. We had an unexpected snowstorm really close to that day. It was one of those just freak things in the morning, and so it was a little chilly that weekend.
Tent camping, or do you go for like the trailer or the cabin or something like that?
It is the last of the cabin camping until November, so it was a last hurrah of being inside, and we needed it. So
yeah, that's good. At least, I mean, if it was a snowstorm in a tent, it'd be like, oh yeah, that's I'd pack up the car and be like, nah, forget it, this ain't happening this week.
I've been there. You get up and you leave the snow on because it's a little bit insulating, but not this time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know there in Iowa, you can get some snow well into April and May sometimes there. I was born April 23rd in Cedar Rapids, and the day before it snowed. So yeah, I don't quite have firsthand experience there with it, but pretty darn close right there.
Yeah, we actually had, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, we had a snowstorm in early, well, not a storm, but it snowed in early May. Right before classes got out at the university. So that was kind of fun. Everything was blooming, and then all of a sudden, whoosh.
Yep. Oh, man.
Hopefully not this year.
I gotta love the... Yeah, exactly. Gotta love the randomness of Midwestern weather there sometimes. Well, hey, the good news right now, being in the end of March, early April here, opening day. We finally have some real baseball back, and we're, what, 3 days into the season now, it'll be officially here today. I mean, unless you're the Dodgers or the Padres, they got that, you know, extra bonus early start there out in South Korea. But yeah, it's Guardians winning their first year. How's your team's been doing here so far?
Actually, I've been kind of busy the last 3 days, so I haven't really paid that much attention. I think the last one I watched was when or at least listened to or paid attention to was when the Astros lost to their minor league team about a week ago.
Oh, jeez. I did not. I completely missed that one, but, yeah, I'm not much of an Astros fan, so it's like, oh, that's hilarious to hear that one.
It was like, wah, wah.
Yep.
Good for them. Well, good for that minor league team.
Exactly. I mean, hopefully it puts those guys in a good mood when they come through Frisco here, or if I see them in the AAA guys in Oklahoma City or Round Rock or somewhere like that. So hopefully that'll help that out. Over on basketball, we're down to the Elite Eight right now on the men's bracket. Women are working their way down to their Elite Eight. I believe they've got games today and tomorrow for that. But I don't know if you did a bracket at all, but how's yours looking right now if you did one?
Well, I didn't do one this year. We did the office pool, and with the one day to go, they only had maybe 2 or 3 people. So I was like, I'll just stay out of it this year. And then all of a sudden everybody made a last minute one. So I was one of the only ones not to go in, but, the Cyclone men are out. So, obviously a lot of our office, you know, you gotta be loyal. And so you put them as far as you can. So that busted some of ours, in the office, but, that was pretty much the one I was looking at, was the keeping track of the Cyclones there.
Well, I mentioned on last week's show, mine died after day one. I had Kentucky going all the way, and they most certainly did not. So, right. I mean, even looking at my Elite Eight right now, I got Purdue and Tennessee right, and that is it. So, yeah, not a good year for me. This is after, I mean, 2019, I think I finished top 10% in the nation on Verizon's bracket competition. And now this year was probably bottom 10% if I had to take a guess if I had done anything like that. Fortunately, this year, just my wife and I filling them out. So we didn't have anything writing on it except for pride of the apartment here. And neither of us did particularly well. Her she had Marquette going all the way, and they just got bounced the other day. So, yeah.
Yeah, my best years, I think, is when I took Obama's bracket and then just kind of tweaked it a little bit. He seems to have a good pulse on the tournament every year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you can latch onto an expert like that, if they've been good, keep going with it. You know, ride out the hot streak there for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, been a kind of not a a very unbusy week, I guess, here for me, collectibles wise. I've been saying here for a while, hey, I need to write some more TTMs out, and I've gotten so lazy on that. I still haven't done it. My goal of writing 10 a week has kind of fallen off. Fortunately, I'm glad I said only like 300 for the year to start when I first said anything. So I can definitely still hold to that. But the 10 a week, I think, is long gone right now. I've still got to write a few out. So hopefully, I might get to that later today, maybe tomorrow, sometime in there. But in-person graphing season is coming up soon. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. And so I've started picking up some cards for that. We actually have a big... we have an open house with the team in Cleburne out of the American Association coming up at the end of April. So I hopefully will be able to go down and get all those guys and knock all of the Cleburne players out before the season starts. That way I can concentrate on just the visiting teams there. So those have been all my additions so far. Getting stuff also set up for Frisco and Corpus Christi is the first team to come in and play against them. So try to scoop up some cards on all those guys. But that's been about it for additions to the collection, other than some, you know, TTMs, which we'll get to later. Troy, you have any good pickups here this week or last couple weeks, I guess?
Yeah, so I had some spare time. So while I'm doing my Star Trek rewatch that I'm still in the process of, I actually got about 85 requests out so far this week. So and those are all 100%, I believe, those are all those NBA. What's the series that I've been doing? 90-91 hoops or...
yeah, like yeah, 91 hoops there, yep.
And
the silver bordered ones, right?
Silver and gold. So I think I have 2 years there. And there's some Fleer Ultras thrown in there as well. So I got those up and out, and then I ran out of 6 3/4 envelopes, and I went to Walmart and got some, got them home, and I'm like, they're the lick gum seal. I was I don't like sending those out. I don't want people to have to do that. And so I took those back, and I have an Amazon order coming in today for 500 of them. So I should be set for a while. But I did pick up, I've been using kind of a video Pelican case for my graded cards. And so I did actually get a big boy graded card case, I guess, finally. Nice. And I'm going to be doing some submissions soon, because I mentioned that George Brett that I got really on the cheap a couple weeks ago, and they actually had a Griffey, that same consignment place, and it looked kind of off, but it had an authentic seal on it. And I was like, I don't recognize that seal. And so I Googled it, and it's these tamper-proof seals that you just buy on Amazon that say authentic autograph with a number on it. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, if they're doing that, what are the chances of, okay, the Griffey's probably not real, but my George Brett chances kind of slid, of getting a good deal, just kind of slid down, even though it was only about $19. And so I'm like, well, I guess that's going to be one of the first ones I send in. And I haven't been part of the PSA club for a long time, but, you know, I figured if you join their membership, even if you do, I forget what the number was, if you do 10 cards, maybe you get the money back just in the discounts that you get for being a member and everything. So I'm probably going to join the one lowest club there in the next month or two, just to get some submissions in and find out if I really if I got a good deal or a bad deal.
There you go. I definitely have to. I haven't looked into PSA for authentication at all. I typically go with Beckett because, I mean, I know the people there. It's close by. I can literally go right up to their office, drop my stuff off, and then they'll call me when it's done. I can pick it up and don't have to pay for shipping and risk losing anything that way at all. But
that's a big plus right there.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really hopeful, too, with, you know, they mentioned the show news last week with CGC picking up JSA now. JSA for the longest time has not done any slabbing at all, but CGC has that ability. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to combine those two together and we'll have a third authentication and slabbing, or I guess maybe even fourth authentication and slabbing option out there available to us. So definitely excited to see what that brings to the table. And I might start looking to PSA there if the cost sounds as good as you're saying there.
Yeah, if you're not a member of the club and just do one or two, it's pretty expensive. But once you get the deals in and get that little discount, I don't know if I did the math right. I was a journalism major, but it seemed to it seemed to be able to pay for itself if you do enough. And I'm just not a big slab guy, but I think I think it's about time that I send some of these in, especially that the one that you put in your article a year or two ago that I got, that was one of the hardest signers, Doyle Alexander. Yes. I'm going to send those in and at least get them slabbed. So,
well, there you go. It's I think that's a pretty decent intro we got going on there. So we'll tell you, hey, this week's show, I don't have an interview. We did this about a month ago or so with a no interview. We're going to got the Grapher DIY segment here again. We're going to talk a little about some in-person graphing methods of organization for your cards, because everybody has their own different way. I encountered a lot of different ways when I was at a spring training there. So kind of run through some of the pros and cons of each of those there a little bit. And of course, we have all of our regular segments. Before we do Grapher DIY, we'll go through Baker's Dozen. After Grapher DIY, we have Making the Grade. We've got our Stamp of Approval and the Vern Rap Minute, covering deaths in the world of sports, celebrity, music, movies, and politics. And of course, the main reason why we all are here, it is our TTM Returns. I've been fairly light on there, but I saw Troy, you've got it in a few in, so it won't be an empty segment at least, which is always great there. So, of course, you can always contact us, questions, comments, stuff you'd like us to talk about. Troy, what is the email address for people to get in contact with us?
The best email address is always ttmcast@yahoo.com.
Yes. And if you want to find me directly, I am dfwgrapher@gmail.com. You can find me at dfwgrapher on really just about all social media. Troy, where can they find you at on social media?
Most of the place, it's just TTM Autograph, except on Twitter, where it's just Trutter, T-R-U-T-T-E-R. I'm still waiting for the TTM Autograph to become available after 20 years or something. So,
can you try like a TTM underscore autograph or anything like that? I don't know what Twitter's policy is on autographs or on underscores, I mean.
That's probably taken, too. So yeah. I'm waiting for the original. Elon keeps promising us a purge at one time or another. So we'll see if he follows through.
One can only hope. Well, there you go. There's our intro. Let's move on into all of our news from the week with Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen, sponsored by SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
Smart collectors turn to Sports Collectors Daily to stay up to date. From new releases to incredible collections hitting the auction block, news from inside the business of sports collectibles, and much more, Sports Collectors Daily has it, all with no subscription cost. SC Daily also delivers a live look at the most watched sports card auctions on eBay for every sport. Sign up to get the headlines in your email for free, or just visit the website whenever you like. With 16,000 stories in the archive going back 16 years, there is always plenty to read at SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
Baker's Dozen is a news summary of all things in the collectibles world, of anything we can come up with from the previous week, stuff from the past week, stuff that's upcoming, whatever we come across, we'll let you know about it. And want to remind you, as always, that we are working with Collex, C-O-L-L-X. You find them at collex.app. They are a marketplace and kind of a research tool as well. You can scan your cards there and find out what they're selling for. It helps you out a lot at a card show as well. You can, you know, find out if you're getting a good deal on something that you find there. So check them out. They've got a great marketplace there as well. And if you send us your name and your Collex name and your email address, we'll send on to Collex and get you a $10 coupon to use in their marketplace. So Collex.app, go and check that out. I want to remind you as well, Five Star Dynasty, the new collectible card game dealing with collegiate sports that's coming out from my friend Amir Kim El Malawani. I believe they still have that Instagram bonus going on, so make sure you follow them at Five Star Dynasty Game. buy their stuff at 5stardynasty.com. And if you make a purchase of one of their sets or more, send them a message on Instagram. Let them know you're a TTM cast listener and that you picked your setup. And they might have a little bonus to throw in with you whenever those get shipped out. So 5-Star Dynasty game, go and check that out. And of course, I want to remind you, I have my weekly article on Sports Collectors Daily talking about all things TTM. This past week, I also recapped the quest for Crosby, the search for Sidney, as I called it in the headlines there. But I mentioned last week, I finally got my Sidney Crosby autograph that I've been seeking for 20 years now. And so I got to go through a little bit of the history of that and why it's such a big one and important one to me. So go check that out, Sports Collectors Daily. I'll have another article coming up early part of this coming week. Not sure what I'm going to talk about just yet. I might do some stuff on... I did one for the NFL playoffs on the best signer from each NFL team in the playoff in their history. So I might do the same thing for baseball this year. We just had opening day, so maybe go through and, you know, let everyone know how great of a signer Ryan Sandberg is, basically, and a couple of others out there. So make sure you check that out. Moving on to some hobby news. We've got a lot of hockey to lead this one off right now. Of course, we're, you know, coming up on the end of the regular season for the NHL. And National Hockey Card Day is coming up. We're 2 weeks away from that. It's going to be available at all Upper Deck Diamond Dealers shops throughout the U.S. and Canada, April 13th. So once again, it's, 2 weeks from now? That product there with the giveaways there, they're going to have, I believe it's a 5-card pack that these dealers will be able to give away and a couple of bonuses. I think one of them is a special Connor Bedard card that'll go to anybody making a $10 purchase in those shops. Two different Connor Bedard cards in this product, plus a whole lot of other rookies and stars. So if you have an Upper Deck Diamond Dealer shop anywhere around you, make sure you check them out on April 13th if you're a hockey collector for National Hockey Card Day.
And speaking of hockey, the Howe family has several items up for auction right now, including some rare and some interesting things. It's like they maybe cleaned out their houses or something. So they have things like Gordie Howe's 1976 Texas license plate, as well as letters to him from Nixon and Brian Mulroney. And then, of course, they have some extra normal things like game-used jerseys and stuff like that. Now, that auction is benefiting the Howe Foundation, and that actually runs through April 4th. So if you're listening to this before April 4th, there's still some time to get in on that.
That license plate there, that would be kind of a cool piece to be able to come across right there. Got some national news coming up here as well. Of course, we're about 4 months away from the National. It comes up at the end of July, early part of August in there. And Chipper Jones is the newest signer to be added to the list there. They're announcing one per week. Chipper Jones now on there. But yeah, I believe he's been at a couple of Nationals before. I end up screwing up my notes here on this one. I still have a little bit carried over from last week's one there. He's definitely not a boxer, but I think he's done a couple of Nationals before. Baseball Hall of Famer, of course. And if you're interested in some Chipper Jones autographs, he'll be there at the National. And for a full list of signers, you can always check out the National's website at nsccshow.com.
He could be a boxer. You never know.
I mean, yeah, he's built like he could be one. I mean, third basemen like that are usually pretty tough, so yeah.
Formula One Racing, getting to some racing news. They've re-upped their deal with Topps and Fanatics. Now, Topps has actually had the license to produce the cards and the stickers and stuff for F1, F2, and F3 racing since about 2020. So Topps, Fanatics still sticking with it, and their new deal have exclusive cards that will be sold only at races around the world. So you got to be in person to get those. So those could be some highly traded commodities right there. Mm-hmm. And how the length of that deal is currently unknown, but if they see a lot of success in doing that, and that means money probably, you can expect them to do that again if people are pretty receptive to that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a sport that's grown a lot, because, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you'd have to get up like 7 in the morning. It might be on ESPN there on Sunday mornings, and now it's like you hear about it all the time everywhere. So it's definitely it's been popular around the world, but growing a lot more popular here in the United States now as well. Got some new releases coming up this week as well, and again, we're leading off with some hockey here as the 2023-24 Upper Deck SP Game Used Hockey set will come out. April 3rd is what we're looking at as the release date there. You're going to see 6 cards per pack with 1 pack per box. In each of those, you're going to see three memorabilia and or tech cards. And they're not sure what the deal is on tech cards there. But I mean, if they're equating it with memorabilia stuff, it's got to be something pretty cool there at least. Plus one autograph or premium memorabilia card in each box. Presale price on that is running $200.
And also coming up on April 3rd, we have 2023-24 Panini Origins Basketball. So this product has seven cards per pack and one pack per box. And with that, you're looking at one auto and one memorabilia or two autos per box, either one of those. So the pre-sale for that is at $400. And again, that is also on April 3rd. A lot of stuff coming out here soon.
Again, notice a little bit of a pattern here because this is also coming on April 3rd. This is the Panini Immaculate Football for 2023. Six cards per pack with one pack per box. Loaded down with autographs. So, I mean, out of those six cards, five of them are going to be either autographs or memorabilia. Immaculate, of course, always loaded with all that kind of stuff. One base card or possibly base parallel, I believe, there as the sixth card. Presale price on that one, we're looking at $1,350.
And rounding up at April 3rd, 2024 Topps Sterling Baseball. And with that one, you get one pack per mini box, and there are two mini boxes per normal box. And there you're looking at two autographed relics numbered 25 or less, and one of one card in that mini box. And the price for that, the pre-sale price is only $1,225.
Pretty high for just two cards, but I mean, when they're numbered 25 or less or a one of one, I guess it kind of makes some sense there, because that's definitely some short print stuff right there. From our friends at Leaf, we have Leaf Vivid Baseball coming out on April 5th this time, so backing it up a couple days there, but another one's loaded with some autographs there, as Leaf is always tending to do here lately. You're going to see seven cards in a box of Leaf Vivid, but out of those seven, five autographed and two base cards, and it's a fairly affordable price considering all that ink being slung there, $180 for that box.
And also on April 5th, we have 2023-24 Panini Revolution Basketball, and at that one, you get five cards per pack and eight box. Now what you're looking for that is four rookies, four inserts with eight different parallels per box. So I shouldn't say different, it could be the same parallel. So eight parallels per box there. And the pre-sale price for that is $250.
Yeah. Check out some shows next weekend. Maybe you can pick up some of those boxes out there. But the big one, of course, is the Chantilly Show is going to be April 5th through the 7th. That has become one of the big shows here in the U.S. It takes place at the Dulles Expo Center in Chantilly, Virginia. Admission, $15. I think it was actually $10 for Friday, $15 for Saturday or Sunday, but lots and lots of autographed guests for this. You've got John Smoltz is one of the top ones, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, got Mike Tyson plus four other boxes, and a list too long to list of football players. 44 football players are going to be there signing autographs throughout the weekend. So if you want full info as to who all is going to be there among all those guys, csashows.com is your place to check out the Chantilly Show.
And if you are in the Midwest or upper Midwest, you might want to check out the Taylor Town Trainer Show coming up April 6th through 7th. That's up in Michigan, in Taylor, Michigan, at the namesake there, Taylor Town Trade Center. That's kind of a good name to say three times fast, isn't it?
Kidding.
The admission is free, and you can get Steve McCaddy will be there for $10 signing autographs, and also Juan Berenger, who will be there for $15 per autograph. So if you're near Michigan, head on up to Taylor and get some Juan. I know he is in a lot of people's sets that they do. So that would be a great time to get him and maybe say hi.
1984 Tiger there, if I remember right, too. So world champion with them.
Yeah.
Up in New England, if you're up in that area, we've got the Dedham Show. The Holiday Inn in Dedham, Massachusetts will have their show on April 7th. $3 admission fee, or I believe if you have the Crave the Auto app on your phone, you can get in free with that. So make sure if you have that, show that at the door and they'll let you in. A few big names on the signers there. You've got potential future Baseball Hall of Famer Joe West, longtime umpire there. I figure, I mean, just the fact he was around forever is probably going to end up getting him in eventually. So He's going to be signing autographs there. You've got football great Marv Fleming will be signing as well. Mitch Moreland, formerly of the Rangers, the Padres, the Red Sox, maybe a couple other teams in there. He's going to be signing up there. And one of my all-time favorites, Hockey Hall of Famer and fellow Finn, Yari Curry, is going to be there. I believe it was $79 the cost on him, so a little bit outside my price range there. But if you need him, that's the place to get him, is the Dedham Show. You can find out more info on that at cardboardpromotions.com. Well, there you go. A lot of shows going on this week. Those are just the three biggest ones I could find on a few sites there. So check around and see if there's any near you as well to check out there. I think that about does it for Baker's Dozen. Let's go on to our new segment of Graffer DIY.
Ready for some tips and tricks? It's time for Graffer DIY.
Graffer DIY is just kind of a chance for us to give advice to collectors out there on how to do certain things that come up every now and then that beginners might not know much about. Even sometimes veteran collectors might not know a whole lot about. And mostly we try to focus on TTM stuff, but once in a while, you know, we'll get into some in-person graphing here as well. And this is a topic that's been kind of on my mind a lot lately. After coming back from spring training and getting stuff ready for this season, you see a lot of stuff, different methods that people have of organizing their cards for getting them signed in person. Now, Troy, I know you're mostly a TTM guy. You occasionally do some in-person, though, I believe. And how do you usually take your cards with you whenever you go to any kind of a thing like this where you're going to be getting guys in person?
Yeah, I haven't actually done this in a long time. I think I actually had to research other people's how they did it for my book, because I was like, I just kind of take what I have. And I know some people used to do the old photo corners on on albums and stuff like that. But if I do partake, it's usually really small scale. So it'll be like an Iowa Cubs game when someone comes down or something like that. And so then I only have a few, so I just kind of take them in a the glass or the plastic acrylic box, and usually take a few of the decoys from packs of cards just in case there's someone I want to get signed. That's kind of been my trick, is to use those decoys because they hold the signature pretty darn well. But I'm such a infrequent IP-er, I guess that's the way I do it. But I know that you and judging from a lot of your pictures there, you have people with albums and photo corners and all that type of stuff. So I'm definitely interested to hear how you got over 200, 224 or something like that autographs during spring training. Maybe the number's gone up as soon as you counted them. So interested to hear your method.
324, actually. You're close. Off, yeah.
Off by 100.
And what's crazy is, I mean, I know people that are like, oh, 324, I can do that in, you know, just like 3 days. And I'm just like, I'm out. I'm tapping out on that one. I can't hit anywhere close to that. But it's been interesting. I mean, because around here in the DFW area, it's usually been pretty much a lot of people use the famous Graffer book, which I'll get into a little bit here. But going through just, I mean, everything I've been to over the last few years, I know I did the NHL draft back in 2018. And my friend Russ, who's a big collector in Florida now, and I know him from back in Massachusetts when I was in college up there, and he was in high school there. He was always one that used the boards or the books back then, too. But he came down to the draft and was going primitive on the boxes there, and it actually worked pretty well for him there, it seemed like. So I'm like, huh, maybe I've been overthinking this all a little bit. So every system, it seems, has its kind of pros and cons. I know you mentioned there that, you know, you use the box method there, which works really well if you have, you know, a few guys you want to target like that. If you have, you know, if you're hauling around a couple hundred cards, you don't want to be using the box method, I wouldn't think very much. But I mean, again, it worked for Russ when we were at the draft there. So who knows? I could, like I said, kind of overthinking it a bit there. But the box definitely has its place. It works well for, you know, if you're specifically targeting a few guys, or if you have, you know, maybe one card of each player on a team there. So, you know, you've only got 20, 30 cards to have to worry about there. So there's definitely a lot to be said about using the box method there. But like I said, once you start getting into, you know, okay, you've got, you know, an entire like football team, for example, where you've got, you know, 50 guys on that you're hauling stuff around for, and you have multiple cards of each one, it is so easy to get that disorganized if you have a lot right there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I tend to avoid the box, but at the same time, I mean, it works well for some on there. So definitely a method to consider for some things. There's also, of course, the binder, where get your standard 9 pocket pages on there, which is great because you can see every single card in there that way. It's a great way to be able to easily kind of keep a look on things. The problem there, though, is those pockets trying to fiddle with the cards and get them out of there. And you see a guy coming. You pull your card out of him. He signs it. And oh, right there, there comes another guy. It's like, oh, crap. Now you have to, you know, flip through your pages, put that card back in, find the other cards. Oh, crap. You missed another guy in there. So it's tough to get him out. It's tough to work around there. But it's good for, again, if you only have a couple guys you're targeting, the binder can work pretty well, too. But also, I mean, it's a little bit big. You're going to end up accidentally elbowing somebody next to you, and you're going to put somebody's teeth out, and just, no, I'm not a big fan of that. I did talk to one collector, though, who was at in spring training there, carried around this big binder, probably about like 3 inches thick of stuff. And what he would do is, if he had multiple cards of a guy, he'd put a whole bunch all in one page, which works reasonably well there, since you only have to really see, okay, I've got, you know, 4 cards of this guy, I can just slip them all right in there. You can grab them all in one fell swoop instead of having to pull, you know, one card from a pocket, one card from pocket, one card from a pocket, or something like that. So I guess, you know, something like that might work well. I mean, it worked really well for him. He was getting a lot of major volume of cards done there for sure.
That's what I was wondering. Like, I don't, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to the binders, where I want the cards to be held securely. But if you find one of those cheap binders that hold really loosely and can hold, you know, more than 2 or 3, you know, you wouldn't want to use those for your good cards, because you're like, ah, oh, the cards keep falling out. But
yes,
maybe those cheaper binders could be great for IPing, where you could fit those 7 cards in a page. So maybe
there you go.
Maybe there's something for that.
Yeah, there might be. I know. I mean, like, get your ultra pro brand ones. Those are going to fit everything pretty tightly. That's, you know, I try to use those whenever I have like a set to display or something like that. But yeah, you're exactly right. If you can find, you know, the ones that are a little bit looser, a little bit cheaper, usually to kind of, I can't think of a brand off the top of my head, but I know I have some over here that are just like that, where they can slide around easily a little bit if you have, you know, only one card in there. But yeah, you can pile a few in there. So they have their purpose, whether you look at it and go, oh, that's, you know, crappy quality or whatever. No, it's got its methods of use there.
Huh.
I think those would work well for like jersey cards too, because I mean, with the thickness of there and everything, you don't want to go trying to shove it and wedge it into a really, you know, high quality one's going to keep everything really, really secure and stable in there. But get that little bit of extra space there, it's going to hold those a little bit easier. So another thing to consider right there for those who enjoy getting jersey cards done, which I don't do it often, but when I do, they come out pretty well. I always like whenever I can pull that off. So from there, you kind of move up from the binder up to the board method, which you can get any kind of cardboard really works well for this. I've used like foam core board, just regular cardboard. I know my sophomore year of college, at the end of the semester, I took the covers off of my notebooks from my various classes and stuck photo corners on there. So you use those boards with the photo corners, which you mentioned, you know, right off the top there and everything. That can work very well because, I mean, you have the boards like that. It's a nice, stable, heavy piece. There's not going to get, you know, blown around, bent around, anything like that. Gives a nice, stable spot for the player to sign. And if you get jostled around a little bit, you're not going to get anything damaged quite so easily, I don't think. So definitely use the boards there if it's something you can do. But at the same time, it kind of goes back to the whole thing of boxes and binders there, where you might end up getting stuff shuffled out of order pretty easily there once you're, you know, get in a rush there of 5 guys coming all at once. You try to, you know, shuffle around and get everything there, and you're going to end up with somebody getting out of order there. And then you go looking for a card later on, and somebody shows up and you're like, oh crap, where'd it go? And by the time you find it again, guy's gone onto the bus. I definitely have always used the boards up until about the last 10 years or so. But what was great about the boards was, I mean, being in Boston, one of the main hotels the hockey teams would stay at was right down a road that got some really bad winds coming down it. So if you use anything with like a binder or even just boxes there, you drop a card and it's gone. You have like a book that has some paper in it or something that's going to get folded over easily. But those boards being nice and stable like that gave a little bit of protection there against like wind and such if it came whistling down there. So boards, definitely a way to consider. And ultimately, though, that led me to the book method. And that is what I still stick with to this day. And it's what I try to recommend to anybody out there that's trying to figure out how to organize everything. And with the book, all you really need to do is get any kind of a bound book. You can have one custom made for you at Office Depot, which I have done before. They can take like, you know, 50 sheets of cardstock, punch them, spiral bind them. Make sure you have them put a bigger spiral on it, though, because when you put those cards on there, it's going to stress out that spiral. So if they put like a 50 sheet coil onto it and you have 50 sheets in there, oh, it is going to stretch out real bad and it's not going to last you very long. But if you tell them, hey, can you put like a 200 sheet coil on this? It gives you that extra space. And so once you put those cards and photo corners onto there, it spaces everything out a lot wider, but doesn't stress that coil out because it is prepared for it there. So if you get one custom made, I highly recommend that. If you don't get one custom made, if you use like a one of those spiral bound art books, for example, I've started using one of those recently, like one of those sketchbooks or something you can get at Michael's or Hobby Lobby or anywhere like that. Cut a few sheets out of it. If you get like a 50 sheet sketchbook, for example, take 25 of the sheets out of there and then just, you know, put your photo corners down and you've got yourself an instant grapher book with that. And so usually with those, if you get like a, what about a 9x12, you can do three by three on it, three cards across, three rows down. I have this year gone on to a larger one. I think this is like, I'm not sure that's an 11x14 or what size this is, but this one will hold 15 cards per page. Now, fair warning, I'm not dropping 15 cards on a single player. That's just entirely too much. But at the same time, it helps to kind of condense things. So like the most I typically try to do is four per player at a time. But with this, I can set up three rows of five cards. So I put four on that top row, four in the middle row and shift them over a little bit, and then four in the bottom row. You can have three pages per player right in there. And that way, I mean, you're making the most, best use of your space that you possibly can. Sometimes if you have, you know, two cards, one player, two cards, another, okay, put two on the left, keep that middle spot open, put two on the right. So it gives a little bit of a visual barrier in there. Whenever you do this, make sure you make it as easy for the player as you possibly can. That seems to be the best way. And I mean, that's, to me, that is solid advice for both in-person graphing and TTM graphing both. Because, I mean, TTM, that's why you send your self-addressed stamped envelope. Sure, I mean, a player might take the time to write your address onto an envelope and stamp it and everything, but don't count on it. The easier you make it for the player and the more that you can put on yourself to do it, the better your luck is going to be. And the same thing goes with in-person graphing. You know, you can put those cards down, but make sure that there's a little bit of space in there, because the worst thing you have happen is, you know, you have two cards of a guy and you have another one of somebody else right next to him. He signs those first two cards, just proceeds right down the line, and oh crap, all of a sudden, you know, Jonathan Chichu has signed your card of Lynn Loins or something like that, which is a firsthand experience that happened to me a couple of years ago. So space it out. Have a book, though. To me, that has been the best. Now, I will say there are a few players out there that have been starting to skip over books. I was warned about that with Fernando Tatis Jr., for example. That once in a while, he would see a book and he'll just be like, nope, not signing if you're that well prepared. There's kind of a little bit of a stigma that I think a lot of people tend to think that the book holders are all dealers or anything like that. And not all of us are. We're just very, very well prepared is all it is. But just be aware of players' habits sometimes on things like that. So, you know, if you know a guy is skipping over books, pull one card off and hand it over to him. And you might have a little bit better luck that way. That's how I do with Tatis. It worked out well. But yeah, just, you know, talk to other collectors. Find out what habits are of players and use that to your advantage. So a little bit of DIY right there. Hopefully that helps you out. Troy, any other thoughts on anything like that?
No, you pretty much hit it right there. Do you have any pen tricks, silly pen tricks or anything for you want to share with that?
Occasionally, yes, because God, some of the pens can just be so ridiculously unpredictable, because some of it has to do with the pens, some of it has to do with the surface of the cards. And I mean, prepping the cards is always, I mean, that is of utmost importance mostly. Mm-hmm. So make sure you prep your cards well. I personally have, I go for baby powder typically, which it's tougher to find now. You kind of have to go with, you try to go with talcum powder if you can, but it's tough to find talc. Most baby powder now is cornstarch, and it just does not work as well. Fortunately, a few years ago, I bought this big thing of talcum powder, and I'm still working through that. I've got a smaller one that I carry in my grapher bag with me. I just refill that anytime that I need to off the bigger one there. And just, you know, a little light sprinkle onto the card is all you really need to do. Sprinkle it on, rub it in. You should be good to go from there. If you don't like having to use the baby powder, like if you're particularly, I mean, if you're sensitive to any kind of, you know, debris in the air, which can happen with the baby powder there, white eraser is always good. Get a white polymer eraser from any office supply store. Rub the cards down really well with that. And if you're really in a pinch, if you completely forgot to prep your cards and you've got a player coming down, rub them down with your fingers. That'll work all right if you need to. It's not the best. A little bit of extra, you know, skin grease or something can help that out too if you can. But yeah, definitely try to prep earlier with that. As for the pens, your blue Sharpie is, I mean, it's the hobby standard pretty much. It's what I try to go with. There are a few players now who are saying, no, I'm not signing in blue, which again, it's, you know, people have started equating that with dealers somehow, which again, no, it looks best on cards typically. Mm-hmm. So have a black Sharpie on hand just in case somebody says no blue. Personally, I try to go for the Statler pens, the Statler Luma colors. There's medium tip, fine tip, and extra fine, if I remember right. I go with the medium tip. It's a little bit, it's not quite as thick as a Sharpie, but it's thicker than the fine tip ones, which fine tip ones look great if you have a guy who really takes his time with a signature. But if it's, you know, somebody who signs his initials really big on there, it's going to look terrible. So I try to stick, yeah, blue Sharpie or the blue medium tip Statlers. And fortunately, with those, you don't really have to do anything extra on those typically to have them ready. They're just, you know, fresh out of the box. They should be good to go. Troy, have you had any positive, negative experience with any certain types of pens at all over time?
No, just TTMing, you kind of get what you get. You know, there was a couple people that, well, it was actually just one that I'm not going to mention his name, but the hobby and message boards were sure he was using a Crayola marker at home because it was just rubbing completely off of everybody's card. Didn't matter if it was a glossy card or a matte card or anything. And we're just like, what are you doing? You maybe you're doing this on purpose, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, I stick with a blue Sharpie. I even had 100 customized with ttmautograph.com on it. So sometimes I send those out and also send it out to YouTube friends and stuff like that. But nope, I'm a big believer in the blue for what you said. And yeah, it's funny when people say they won't sign with the blue, and because I have several cards for my 91 Don Russ collection that are in black and blue, and it's like, well, I put the one signed in black as possible trade material, and I keep the ones that are blue for the set. So, yep.
There's a dealer that I think it's a guy you mentioned before on here was W.R. George, Deals by George. And I talked to him about that at a show a while back, and he's like, some people just get so amazingly picky about, you know, blue versus black Sharpie. Like, he's had, you know, guys that'll contact him and say, oh, yeah, hey, you've got these cards I need for my set. Yeah, I'll buy this and this and this and this. And they get them and they're like, this is black. What the hell is this? And he's like, is there really that much pickiness on the stuff? I mean, I definitely prefer blue. I'm with you on there. But I'm also not going to refuse a black Sharpie Sig either if it's something I need for a set. So it's just, I mean, it's a little surprising to me, like, how picky sometimes people can get about that. But that's also understandable. You want your collection to look its best.
It's also more fun on YouTube to say signed brilliantly in blue. Mm-hmm. That's the catchphrase on there. You can't say blue without brilliantly. So
Well, there you go. Hopefully this all helps helps all of you out if you're trying to do some in-person graphing. And check out my YouTube channel. I actually did a video on this fairly recently about how to make your own grapher books. So I'll look up DFW Grapher on YouTube. I've got a video there on it and shows you kind of step-by-step process for making your own grapher book. Well, that about does it for grapher DIY. Let's go ahead and move on to our Making the Grade segment.
Making the Grade is sponsored by CGC Cards. All card grading, all in one place. Certified guarantee company, CGC. Devoted to the expert grading of collectible cards. Visit cgccards.com today.
Making the Grade covers all things from the world of grading, especially the big four companies out there. Troy, we've got some numbers from last week. Why don't you let them know what all we've got here?
Yeah, we're looking at March 18th to March 24th. So here we go. PSA graded about 299K cards. That was up 2%. So they were up a little bit. SGC came in at about 34.3K. That is down 5%. CGC, 27.8K, down 34%. And Beckett was at 14.7K, which was down 2%. So PSA was up a little bit. Everybody else was a little bit down. And in total, they graded about 375.8K cards between those four companies.
Down a little bit across the board there. I've been hit at 400 the last couple weeks or so. But, I mean, 375,000 cards is still a crazy, crazy number. I mean, anytime that, you know, Jeff would bring that up, I'd look over at my boxes here. I'm like, I don't even have that many cards ungraded. My God, how do they get through all that in a week? But there you go. Always good to see, though, that the grading is healthy there in the hobby. Well, we've got the big three here, courtesy of gemrate.com.
This week's Big Three is brought to you by Gemrate.com. Whose cards are hot and whose cards are cold this week? Let's find out from our friends at Gemrate.com.
The Big Three takes a look at what's been going up and down here in terms of individual players. This is a an exclusive to TTM Cast from Gemrate. We're going to have Ryan on the show in a couple of weeks here. He'll be reading the big three, I believe, when we do our April 13th show. So have him on for that. But right now, Troy and I are going to take a look and see what the top three and bottom three are here for this week. The big three risers, Connor Bedard, as one probably would expect, he is up massively right now. 112% increase in the number of cards graded on him this week as compared to last week, where last week he was third on the list. Now he's number one at the on the top of the big three. Austin Matthews comes in second. He is up 101%, so doubling over the previous week. And Caitlin Clark up 52% as well. She's had some fairly recent releases from, I believe, Topps had either had or has an upcoming big one coming. And, of course, Panini has just signed her recently to an exclusive deal, and they're going to have some really cool-looking products coming out for her as well. It's been rookie mania for sure with, we mentioned Connor Bedard, their topping list, and CJ Stroud, of course, has been near the top of the list here a couple times during these last few weeks. And CJ Stroud is going to be our individual card winner this week. He had 900 of his Prism rookie card graded versus only, quote-unquote, 800 of Connor Bedard's Upper Deck rookie card there. So those two guys leading the week, but it's Stroud edging him out on the single card winner for this past week.
Yeah, I think we're going to be hearing about Stroud and Bedard for quite a while here. They've been on the list for a good 3 or 4 weeks, and I think they're going to stick around.
Absolutely. The hype on both is crazy right now, so definitely get used to hearing those names here for a while. Meanwhile, on the other hand, we've got the ones that are falling off. Troy, who do we have dropping down the list right now?
Well, we have Nikola Jokic, who's down 13%. Jackson Holiday, who fell about 21%, and Kevin Durant, who is down 27% this week. So a couple 20 percenters there that are going down the list a little bit. I don't see, you know, looking at those three names, any particular reason. They maybe just had a good release and were up and then came back down, but that's what we got this week.
I bet you're going to see Jackson Holiday in the big three risers at some point within the next maybe 3 to 4 months or so. I bet a lot of that is just the fact he didn't make the roster coming out of spring training, but I mean, he's still the Orioles' number one prospect, and he's going to see the majors here at some point this season, I bet. Once again, a big thanks to GemRate.com for providing these exclusive numbers to us here at TTM Cast. Check them out on all forms of social media at GemRate, and of course, check their website, GemRate.com. Right now, let's move on to the TTM Cast Stamp of Approval.
I bet you're wondering, who earned this week's TTM Cast Stamp of Approval?
Stamp of Approval is a moment to kind of look over everything else outside the world of sports and collectibles here. I mean, sometimes we do still get into that there, but give us a chance to give our thumbs up to something on that and kind of prove that we're not just a bunch of sports and collectibles geeks here, even though, I mean, we still are. But it helps look a little bit more well-rounded, at least. So Troy, we'll let you lead this one off. What's your stamp approval for this week?
Yeah, so I heard about this organization on a segment on NBC News, and I looked into it a little more, and I thought it was kind of fun. So I actually became an ambassador for it. It's called Pass the Bricks, and you can find out more about them at passthebricks.org. And what they do is they take donations of Legos, wash them, sterilize them, do all that fun stuff. And then they make little 20 to 40 piece kits that they put together, hopefully that you could reuse the design, the people who are making these, so they can make multiple, and distribute them to different charities and organizations to kids who may not be able to afford Legos. So they have something to play with. Some of these that I've seen are kind of really cool. They the flat pieces that a lot of people don't really like. Apparently they make really good picture frames for like 4x6 photos and stuff, and so you might have a 25 piece picture frame that says mom or something on it, and you just kind of get these little jewelry boxes and make these up and pass them out. So I'm a member of that, but you can find out more about it at the website that I just gave, or if you are interested, I've only just started. If you're interested and want to send a donation to me, you can contact me on the social medias, and I will definitely start taking those. I haven't done really much anything except getting started and trying to figure out who I'm going to partner with in the Ames-Des Moines area, but it seems like a really cool organization. It's kind of a uphill battle because people know the value of that particular brand and try to sell things instead of donate them. But if you have them just laying around and you're like, oh, I don't want to put them in a garage sale, I don't want to take them, put them on marketplace or anything, you know, look for someone in your own area that you could donate to, or contact me and I definitely send you, hey, why don't I send you one of my autographed baseball cards of myself in exchange for a donation to the Pass the Breaks. So should be fun once that starts coming in.
Nice. I like that. I was always a big Lego fan as a kid, and I mean, even now, it's still just, you know, cool seeing what they come out with there. And they've got there's actually a Lego kind of convention type thing that's going to be coming here to Fort Worth in about a month or so. And I'm hoping to go and check that out. So really cool to have a way to pass those on to the kids there. So definitely a great, great stamp approval there for this week. My stamp approval goes to, well, last week's co-host. And no, you did not get Wally pipped this week there, Troy, as you're back on here. But my wife was our co-host last week, and her week continued getting better after that, as she officially was given a promotion at work. So she's been kind of taking on some increased responsibilities here over the last few months here with she's a sales support representative was her original title. I hope I'm getting this correct. She's over there. Yep. She gives a thumbs up. So yeah, it's sales support representative. They're working with sales staff for the company that she's with. And what she does, she kind of does the work back in the office to keep the salespeople back out on the road and able to do their jobs from there, so they don't have to come back to the office all the time. But she's also been taking on a lot more work with data analysis as well. And so along with that, it's like she didn't get the official promotion on that, but it's like, well, she's taking on more and more of this kind of stuff. She's having to work with even more teams because of some like illnesses and such in among the other SSRs. So she's like not just handling her area, but a couple of other areas as well. And so everybody saw this, saw the work she's doing, and she officially has been promoted. What's the new job title there? Sales support analyst now is her official job title. So from representative up to analyst on there. And so, yeah, moving up in the world there. And I mean, this is after working there for only, what, a year and a half now, a little less than a year and a half. So moving on up from there. And yeah, she's seems to be doing really well with that. So finally getting a promotion along with that, though. So she gets my stamp approval for this week. I'm gonna assume, though, also that maybe your boss heard the show and was like, hey, all right. Yeah, she does. All right. No, she's shaking her head at that. She's like, no, you're not. Okay. But yeah, she's got herself a new job promotion right there. So awesome. She gets my TTM cast stamp approval for this week. So let's see here. What do we got coming up next? Of course, we've got the Vern Rap Minute. Let's go ahead and move on to that. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Vern Rapp, former Major League Baseball manager, player, whole bunch of stuff in there. And our show's founder, Jeff Baker, tried to mail to him once for an autograph, not knowing that he had already passed away. And fortunately received a nice note back from the family saying, yeah, sorry, he's no longer with us. But we've dedicated this segment of the show to his memory and in honor of him. First one that we're going to mention here is Mr. Chuck Selbach. Selbach was a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers from 1971 to 1974. He mostly worked out of the bullpen. He was the closer on that 1972 playoff team. Tigers lost in the ALCS that year. But he pitched for them for several seasons, and he was actually a graduate of my high school, class of 1966. And then after retiring as player, moved on back to there to be a history teacher and coached both baseball and football. I never had a class with him, unfortunately, but did know him at least a bit there from passing through in the hallways there. Chuck was an excellent TTMer as well. Quiet, please. No cheating in the back. He was 76 years old.
Next, we have Peter Angelos. He was the owner of the Orioles from 1993 to 2023 and helped them to 5 playoff appearances. Now, he was also known to, he refused to blame players for the 94 strike, and also during that strike refused to use replacement players. So quite the advocate for his players while he was the owner there. He was also a well-known attorney in product liability cases, as well as consolidated action asbestos poisoning, which was a big thing. I remember when I was in college the first time in the 90s, that was the big thing, was all the asbestos abatement type stuff. So he was a pretty well-known attorney there, and also took on cases about diet pill makers and the tobacco industry. So quite a good career there. He also ran and lost for both mayor and state senate seats. He was not really a TTMer, but Peter Angelos, again, Baltimore Orioles, he was 94 years old.
Lost Joe Lieberman this week. May remember him as being a United States Senator from Connecticut. He served them from 1989 to 2013. Also a vice presidential candidate in 2000, losing with Al Gore in the election there. Known throughout his career to be a fairly conservative Democrat, and then switched to independent in 2006 before kind of leading back more towards the Democrats again after around 2010 or thereabouts. Joe is an excellent TTMer from everything that I've seen. I never got into mailing off to any politicians very much, but saw a very good success rate on him all the way up until last few months or so. He was 82 years old.
And next we have Louis Gossett Jr. Don't you eyeball me there, Drew. he was in too many movies to really list here, but obviously Officer and a Gentleman, you know, I always use that quote. What's wrong, mayonnaise? You know, just incredible actor, obviously with Academy Award. I think it was supporting actor for that film, as well as Iron Eagle and a guilty pleasure of mine, the movie Toy Soldiers in the 90s with Will Wheaton and a whole bunch of other stars in that. He had some TTM returns, it looks like, according to the address sites in 2015. But wasn't really a known TTMer. So a big loss for the entertainment industry. Louis Gossett Jr. was 87 years old.
Well, fortunately, a fairly light week there on the Vern Rapp Minute. Our thoughts are with anybody who lost anybody this week, whether it's one of them or anyone else in your life. Let's move on and check out our TTM returns.
Was our mailbox full this week? Let's take a look at this week's TTM returns.
Well, again, a fairly light week here in the mailbox, but still getting a few trickling back in. I've got to get off my butt and get the pen to the paper here pretty soon. But I did at least get a few coming in, two from Canada that have arrived here over the last week or so. First one being Joe Cirella. Cirella was a defenseman for a number of teams throughout the 80s and 90s. Let's see here. Got the Quebec Nordiques, New York Rangers, Florida Panthers, New Jersey Devils, and actually made his debut with the old original Colorado team, the Colorado Rockies, in 81-82. I actually met him at the NHL draft that I mentioned earlier there in 2018 here in Dallas, but at that time I wasn't yet working on the 1988-89 Tops set, so saw that he signs through the, I believe it's the Calgary Stampede, no, not Stampeders, the Calgary, I'm not sure if it's still the Calgary Hitmen or not. Is there a WHL team, I believe? He's the coach up there, or an assistant coach or something like that. But mailed these off at some point late last season, got him back just now. So almost a year turnaround there, but got the 88-89 set card done at least. So super happy to add that one. Let's see here. Moving on, we also got Kevin Lowe back, Hall of Fame defenseman. Played most of his career with the Edmonton Oilers. Also went on to the New York Rangers, won a Stanley Cup there in 1994. Not sure if he played anywhere else besides those two, but I picked up his rookie card a while back. I'm thinking, hey, yeah, I can mail it out. I know he signs. And then, well, he stepped down from the Oilers, kind of announced a retirement from their front office. I'm like, well, crap, what do I do with this now? Because I couldn't find a home address. Fortunately, he does still sign through the Oilers. So I mailed that off again. Took almost a year to come back, but another Hall of Fame rookie card to be able to add in. Signed it in black Sharpie there. I asked if he had the Hall of Fame year. He didn't, but it's a signed rookie card. I'll take it nonetheless, whether he wants to put that in there or not. So very happy to get that after a year. Also got back NFL kicker Jeff Jaeger. He, of course, was mostly with the Raiders. Also played with the Browns and the Bears, if I remember right. Took a couple weeks to sign for me, sent those back. Yeah, I think it was about maybe 2-3 weeks or so total on that, month at the very most. A couple return to senders, unfortunately, to go along with those three successes. I tried James McCann, catcher for the Orioles. Originally, for a while, he was signing through his agent's office in Dallas, and I saw that he wasn't signing at all, so I'm like, okay, let's see if we can find a home address. And I found a home address for him, mailed it out there, and had return to sender written on it, so I'm not sure if they're just completely refusing any mail there, or if just, you know, since he's over with the Orioles right now during their season, but he's a formerly good signer. Hopefully he starts back up again, because I still need him on a set card that I was hoping to knock out right there. And also got back Joe Klecko as well. I mailed to him about a year ago, before he got into the Hall of Fame. It was kind of funny how this went, because I mailed him several years ago and never got anything back. And then Jeff got him. I'm like, all right, well, Jeff's got him, you know, strike while the iron's hot, got a copy of the card that I needed for my set and sent it off to him. And literally 2 days after I sent it out, my one from the few years before that came back signed. So I at least got him then. But most recent one that I sent out there, what, about a year or so ago, went to him, sat there forever, and came back now this week. And unfortunately, he's requesting $20 per autograph. So if you haven't gotten him yet, well, you're going to have to pay out to get him now. I'm glad my one from a few years came back after a while there. But so, yeah, Joe Klecko, just an FYI, $20 to get him nowadays. I've got two more coming in today. I'll let everyone know what they are next week, since I have a guess as to who they are, but I don't want to go. I want to get it wrong completely, and so we'll just wait until I actually have it in hand and open up. Troy, I see you've got a few here as well.
Yeah, so one of these just from today, so mail came early, so hot off the presses, but earlier this week I got back Dwayne Cooper on some stadium clubs. He was with the Lakers. Two different cards there. Those were about 75 days, so these were those New Year's or January sends that I've been doing.
Nice.
And then I got pretty much a pretty good TTMer, I guess, Oil Can Boyd.
Yes.
Signed 2 of 2. These were 572 days. And so I looked up on the address sites, and it looked like people were getting him back from anywhere from 2021 to present. People are kind of getting them back in. So if you have a long since sent Oil Can Boyd that you had out, be watching your mailbox, because those could be coming back any day. So it's always a fun one to get back. Let's see, what are these? This is a scorecard and a Tops that I sent. And obviously I have him for the 91 Donruss set already, so I sent in a couple that I just had laying around, and always good to get those back. It's always fun to get ones that are a year out. You never know. I actually thought it was something else, because I sent it to a Rhode Island address and it came back from Mississippi, but I see his updated address on the sites is a Mississippi address there. So if you're looking to send out to him, don't use the Rhode Island address, use the Mississippi one.
Yeah. I remember he's bounced around a little bit between those, and he's a Mississippi native. And of course, I mean, you know, he plays for the Red Sox forever. He played with the Brockton Rocks for a bit. Mm-hmm. So he does a lot up in New England there, but it's an expensive place to live, so I don't blame it all for going back to Mississippi there, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you said you've got a whole bunch of mailed out there. I've got a few I need to write here as well, so hopefully we'll have a lot more to talk about here over the next few weeks. So on the notes here, I did indeed mention the Wowie Ricky Henderson last week, that you were able to find that for me, and to go along with that, I took the video. I have cut down just the commercial itself now, so it stands alone. I've got it on my channel there, so if anybody looks up Wowie Ricky Henderson on YouTube or Google or anything like that, you can get the commercial just by itself now. So it exists, and thank you for finding that. I don't know how you came up with that one, but you're looking around. I saw it come up on Reddit a couple times, a couple places there, and somehow I completely missed it. So nicely done on digging that one out.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to listen to the show yet, so I wasn't sure if you mentioned it. But yeah, it was just it was on Reddit. Someone linked to the actual timestamp of that commercial video, and it was only posted a year ago. So if you hadn't checked in on it on your memory within the last year, it wasn't on there. And so I was like, oh, I bet this is it. And I watched it. And I was like, I vaguely remember this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember him shrinking into a kid, so that was kind of fun.
for some reason I had it convinced in my head that it was just some kids saying it. And for some reason I thought it was Sparky Anderson in the commercial and not Nolan Ryan. So I might be, you know, linking multiple commercials together. It might just be, you know, some Mandela effect thing going on here in my brain, but it wasn't like what I remembered it being. But at the same time, that line is right there. It's like, that was definitely the line right there. Cause I mean, I had a friend as a kid who would always, you know, go sarcastically, wowee, Ricky Henderson, anytime that he wasn't, you know, impressed by something. And so, yeah, it's just crazy to find that again in there. And it's like, all right, good. This wasn't just some, you know, crazy fever dream that I had as a 7-year-old or something like that.
Yeah, it's a little easier to find the one that I mentioned, the baseball bunch, but I'll try to find one of those and send that to you. That was the Johnny Bench, the Johnny Bench TV show from the early 80s with the chicken.
I may just have to take my YouTube channel and convert it into baseball related commercials and intros now or something. Cause I mean, I haven't been posting any, you know, TTM or IP videos there since the start of the year. It's like, let's go with this. Let's convert. Let's take this shift over in like that or something, but definitely looking forward to seeing that one. When you find that one,
I'll have to check out your comments as over the years for the Wowie Ricky Henderson people.
Yeah.
People saying, I knew now you'll get those comments.
That's what I'm hoping. It's weird. YouTube was shutting off comments on it for some reason. And I think it's because there's the video features kids. Yeah. So that's probably why. But I think I finally got it back it looks like the comments are staying open on it for now. So hopefully that continues there. Well, that about does it for the show here this week. Big thanks again to Troy for co-hosting here. And great stuff as always there on the TTM. So hopefully we'll have some more to talk about next week. Speaking of next week, we'll have Clemente Lisi joining us. We'll probably be talking some hockey here. So like we said earlier on, we've got National Hockey Card Day coming up, so might get a chance to have a little preview of that with Clemente. Troy, before we sign off, any other thoughts on before we put a bow on this one?
No, I just need to. I think we both need to get some requests out there, and hopefully people are ready for the new season of baseball now that it's officially underway.
Yes. Well, once again, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Big thanks to Ruthie for running things back there for us as our producer, assembling it all, getting it out there to everyone. And wishing you many happy returns. We'll see you next week.
Hey, everyone, be good.